Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. It's a joy to open up God's Word with you this evening again from 1 John. But as you'll see in the bulletin, we have two texts that we'll be looking at this evening. And the first one will be in Leviticus 6. I will read that passage first, Leviticus 6, and then we will turn to our sermon text from 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 through chapter 2, verse 2. So open up your Bibles with me now to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. As you're turning there, let me remind you that this is God's word. So let's pay close attention to his instruction that we might learn to walk in the way that he leads us in. This is God's word. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "If anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord by deceiving his neighbor in a matter of deposit or security or through robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, in any of all the things that people do and sin by thereby, if he has sinned and has realized his guilt and will restore what he took by robbery or what he got by oppression or the deposit that was committed to him or the lost thing that he found or anything about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore it in full and shall add a fifth to it. And give it to him to whom it belongs on the day he realizes his guilt. And he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent, for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any of the things that one may do and thereby become guilty." Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 8 to chapter 2, verse 2. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Here's verse 10. "If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world." This is God's word. Let's give him thanks and praise for his word to us, his people. Our great and glorious God, we pray that with the help of your Holy Spirit, even now, through the preaching of your word, you would help us to behold Jesus Christ the righteous with unveiled faces, so that we might be transformed from one degree of glory to another. Let us see the preciousness of who Jesus is and how he has met us in our need, so that we might have the courage, the boldness, the confidence to confess freely our sins, knowing that you, our just and righteous God, have sent a just and righteous King who forgives and cleanses our sins and makes that forgiveness of sin and cleansing accessible to the world. Help us to behold these things, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Augustine, that great theologian of the ancient church, told us that what is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New. What is concealed in the Old is revealed in the New. And as we look at that passage in Leviticus 6, I want you to begin to see a pattern, particularly in verses 6 and 7 of Leviticus chapter 6. If you watch again, the man who realizes that he's in sin comes to acknowledge that sin, makes restitution. What is he to do in order to receive cleansing from that sin? Verse 6 says, "He shall bring to the priest," now mark out this pattern, "he shall bring to the priest as his compensation to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent for a guilt offering. and the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall be forgiven for any of the things that one may do thereby and become guilty. Now, as we turn to our passage here in 1 John, I want you to see that what God is doing for those who realize and understand that beholding the glory of God who is light, they realize who God is and who they are and confess their sins. The same pattern flows for forgiveness that we saw in Leviticus chapter 6. Look at verse 1, the second half of chapter 2, verse 1. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, we're going to unpack that because we want to see Jesus as the fulfillment of what God had established even there in Leviticus. It's a shadow, and now we have the reality. We have this beautiful display of what God has done through the ages in making atonement for sinners. But now that that atonement has been made accessible to all who will behold the light, behold the glory of who God is, see the reality of their real sins, confess those, and now where do you take it? Where do you take your sins in order to receive the cleansing? Well, the first thing we need to mark out, though, in our passage is to realize the pattern that we've been seeing in the first chapter of 1 John. Remember, he started in verse 5 with this proclamation, this announcement that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Having beheld this light, we come to realize who we are. But there may be some that encountering God who is light may say, as they do in verse 10 again, as you saw in 6 and in verse 8, Paul has another conditional statement that somebody might say, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There may be some who would say, as they beheld the glory of the Lord, well, I've not sinned. To stand in the light, to say that you have fellowship with God who is light, and to say that we have no sin, what does John say? If anyone beholding the glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ says they have not sinned, you're calling the light, you're calling God a liar. And what John has said is God is light. There is no darkness in him. So the darkness isn't in God. The darkness is in you. You're blind to the reality of God's glory. So if we say we have not sinned, we're making him a liar. But the truth is that the darkness is in us. We're the ones lying. We're the ones not coming clean with the reality of our situation. So to call God a liar means that we still live in darkness. But notice what he says at the end of that verse. His word is not in us. You're not only living in darkness still. The word of life that he's proclaiming to us, remember from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he's proclaiming the word of life. This word that's been proclaimed is life. And if his word is not in you, that means you're still dead. So you're not only in darkness, you're still dead. If you've beheld the light, if you've heard the gospel, and you come away saying, I've not sinned, you're the liar. You're in darkness. And you're also still dead, having heard the word of life. Now, usually John will follow right up with another conditional statement to kind of clarify the good news for people who can confess that they're sinners. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Then he jumped down. If you were to not have this small one parenthetical statement, you would hear him say, but if anyone does sin. But he stops for a minute to clarify what he's doing there in verse 1 of chapter 2. He slows down. He's like, I've been talking a lot about sin. I've been talking a lot about confession. This might be overwhelming to you all right now. My little children, my precious ones, my dearly beloved friends, I am writing these things to you. He's telling us why he's writing. And he says it with affection. He slows us down to remind us that he is coming with a pastor's heart to a congregation. He says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, this is interesting. Having beheld the God who is light and the glorious good news of the gospel, John says, the God who is light sent his son into the world, and Jesus says he has come into the world, and he is what? The light of the world. You've beheld his glory. You beheld his righteousness and his goodness and his grace. Jesus will go on to say to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, the God who is light has sent me, the light, into the world. And oh, by the way, you are the light of the world. Having come into fellowship with the light, you are being transformed. You're being conformed. You're being changed. You're being made like that which you behold. And that is a life that is free from sin in order to shine forth the glory and the goodness of who God is in the world. So I'm writing these things so that you can grow up, you can mature, that you can become exactly what you're called to be, little children who are walking in the light. But I'm writing these things so that you may grow up in these things, that you might not sin. But the reality is, and this is where he continues, but if anyone does sin, and here's what I want us to slow down and meditate really deeply on these things. Because I pray that as you contemplate who God is and his glorious nature and his character, and you see yourself for who you are, you will not be among those who say, well, I don't have any sin to confess. There's nothing in me that would be offensive to God. No, but you would have the courage and the confidence to admit the reality of your heart before the Lord as you contemplate his goodness and his glory, and as he shows you the reality of your heart and your life and puts a finger on any thing in your life that offends him, that you would say, there is sin in me. There is unconfessed sin. There is something I've been hiding or concealing or covering up. Because there's good news for those who will confess their sins and admit their sinners. And here it is. If any of you has sinned, if anyone does sin, God has come to you in Christ. And what has he given to you? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God has come to you, sinners that we are, shining the light of his glory where we are. The light shines in the world. It is shining in the world. Wherever the gospel is preached, it goes forth. The light is shining, and it is exposing the reality of our situation. And as we have the courage to admit that we need cleansing, we have the provision right here. The remedy is in Christ. But mark this out. The remedy belongs to those who admit they have sin, can confess those sins. They have somewhere to go with those sins. We can go where Leviticus tells us to go. Go to the Lord. Go where God is. Now, the interesting thing for us is the glory of the Lord has left the tabernacle. It's come in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and it's shining forth in the world. We don't need to make a trek to Jerusalem now. We can go straight to the Lord in prayer. Why? Because we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. The just one who has satisfied God's righteous requirements, has also met the demands of cleansing for us. He has come to us and he has made himself accessible to us. He is our advocate. And that's what I want you to see first, is that Jesus Christ the righteous is your representative before the Father. Jesus is your representative. You can be confident. You can have comfort in this, that when you discover sin in yourselves, you can run to Jesus knowing that he is your advocate. He is your representative. He is your intercessor. He is the one who represents you before God and says, here is one who needs cleansing. Here is one who has come to you. Just like a priest would meet a sinner coming to the tabernacle, Jesus meets us as an advocate, as an intercessor, as a representative, as the great high priest. Know this, brothers and sisters. When you come to understand that you have sin, run to Jesus, because he is your advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous, Jesus Christ the just, Jesus Christ the one who forgives, because he's just like his Father, a God, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving sins and iniquities. He is ready to forgive. We're so slow to come to him. He is ready to be gracious, because that's his character. We're so slow to admit. He is eager to cleanse, and we are so slow to believe that he's willing to do so. But he is. And this is your advocate, ready to represent you before the Father when you find out that you have sin in you. So I hope this gives you courage. I hope this gives you comfort. And I hope this compels you to not wallow in the reality of your sin, but to run to Jesus with your sin. Why run to Jesus? Well, first, because he's your representative. But run to Jesus Christ the righteous, because he is your propitiation. But let me just say it another way. He is the ram that God has provided to cleanse you. Do you see that in Leviticus 6, where the man who has sinned, he's supposed to bring the ram from his own flock, from among the flock with him to Jerusalem and give it to the priest, and the priest is going to make propitiation or atonement for him there? Do you see what God has done for us? Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is not just our advocate and representative. He is God's ram that God has provided for you. All he's asking you to do is come to him. He's already provided the propitiation. He's already provided the atonement. He's already provided the ram for you. Jesus Christ is the ram. He is the one who's given for our sins. So God has given you a glorious Savior who represents you before the Father, but he's also become the sacrifice that offers cleansing and atonement and forgiveness for you. And you didn't have to bring it. God provided it for you. And he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the ram that bears, yes, the punishment and the guilt, but more than that, he's also the ram that cleanses us from our sin and from our guilt and from our shame. He not only propitiates, he expiates too. Propitiation is he bears the wrath, but expiation is he provides the cleansing. Jesus is the precious ram given to us by God that we receive forgiveness of sins from. Do you see the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ, the righteous here? Brothers and sisters, we don't have to hide in our sin any longer. We don't have to cover up where we have really messed it up. More than that, failed. More than that, rebelled against a holy God. No, we have a representative who has provided a ram for us to cleanse us from our sin and from our shame. Why are we so slow to run to him? One of the things I was meditating on after Jerry preached in Mark chapter 1 and the proclamation of the gospel is this concept of repent and believe. Why are we so slow to run to Jesus? Do we really believe this? Then let's repent and run to him. Why am I so slow to run to him? It's usually a lack of faith and a lack of repentance. Or worse, an unwillingness to repent because I don't believe. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is set forth before you now in the person of Jesus Christ the righteous, who is your representative. He is the ram that God has provided for you. Repent and believe the gospel and run to Jesus for cleansing. And this just isn't for people who are outside the kingdom right now. This is for us, the church. He's writing to us that when we have sin exposed in our life, having fellowship with God, when we have sin exposed, when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on our hearts and says, this needs to be dealt with, we can go to him with courage because we have a righteous representative and we have a righteous ram who is the propitiation for our sins. And that leads me to my last point here I want us to consider, is that he's not only our righteous representative. He's not only the righteous ram given to us to cleanse us, to propitiate, and to expiate. In his life, death, burial, and his resurrection and his glorious ascension, Jesus now dwells with the Father, and he is reconciling and restoring all things to himself. He is the propitiation for our sins. He removes the guilt. He removes the shame. The very thing that keeps us at odds with God and one another, Jesus deals with it. What is it that causes you to be at odds with your neighbors? What is it that causes us to be at odds with one another in our fellowship? What is it that causes us to be in rebellion against God? It's always some sin that's lying dormant in our hearts. But Jesus has dealt with all those things, and he's offering to us cleansing that reconciles us to God and to one another. He's offering us an opportunity to get in on the cleansing of knowing what true fellowship is, where we don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to cover anymore. We don't need to not confess freely because we know we have one who can cleanse us fully. We can confess freely knowing we have one who has cleansed us fully. But I want you to see the extent of this offer that John is setting forth for us. He's not just the propitiation for our sins in the covenant community. See, Israel had access to the temple. They had access to the priests. And that was to compel them and to teach them in order to reach out to the nations so that they too might come in to serve Yahweh. But they stopped way short of the goal. Jesus has not stopped short of the goal. He's not just the propitiation for our sins. Hear this, brothers and sisters. He's the propitiation for all of the sins of the whole world. Wow. What is it in us that keeps us from believing this with such confidence that we extend and proclaim to others this good news that we've heard in Christ? Because here's the thing. The death of Christ and the atonement is sufficient for the whole world. It is able to reconcile all things, not just some things, all things. The important thing to remember here, though, is the cleansing and the reconciliation and the restoration comes to those who believe. But the announcement goes to any and everyone, calling them to faith, calling them to repentance. Is there anyone that you have knocked off your prayer list because you have just given up and don't believe they'll ever hear this? That person needs to be back on your prayer list tonight, because this message is for them. This message is for the whole world. It's not just for Jews. It's also for Gentiles. It's not just for the black. It's also for the white. It's not just for males. It's also for females. It's for anyone and everyone, the slave and the free. We can all get in on this. Christ's atonement is efficient. It is effective for those who believe, but it is sufficient for the whole world. So how can we keep this good news to ourselves? Having heard this message, we need to follow in John's footsteps. This is the good news that we've heard. Having heard it tonight, having heard about Jesus Christ the righteous, who is our representative, who is the ram who provides cleansing, who is the one who reconciles and restores, we must, having heard this, go out and proclaim what we have heard so that others can be reconciled. Now, I believe that the only way for that to truly happen is for the church first to put their confidence in what we're saying tonight afresh. To look one another in the eyes and say, what good word have you heard today? And follow it up with the blessedness and the preciousness of Jesus Christ the righteous and say, I've encountered God, a holy God, and seen him for who he is, and I've seen myself for what I am. But confessing my sins, I've seen in the light, the God who is light, his Son, who is the light of the world, who laid down his life for the life of the world. In him, I've been reconciled to God because he is my representative. He is the propitiation. He is the ram. And he has reconciled me to himself. You too. This is available to you. Have you come to him? We can all really ask ourselves that tonight. What do you do with your sin? Where do you go with your sin, brothers and sisters? I'm serious. Like, tonight, as we're leaving, just remind each other, where do you go when you sin? What do you do? Oh, you don't sin? Oof. That's not good. People who say they don't know sin, they don't sin, they're liars. But people who confess, people who come clean, people who run to Jesus, they get forgiveness and they get the fellowship of God the Father and his Son and the church. What practical ways can we begin to apply these things in our fellowship with one another? I want to remind you that this is no mere tactic to get your conscience clean and help you live a better life. No, this is the promise of God given to us to reconcile us to himself and to one another if we will put it into practice. If we put it into practice. If we dodge it, what confidence do we have that we'll be cleansed? What confidence do we have that we'll be forgiven? So we got to put it into practice. Let me encourage you with a couple particular ways to put this into practice. First, it's the most obvious one. Repent and believe the gospel. Having repent and believe the gospel, look long and hard in the face of Jesus, who is the light of the world, who is who he says he is, your reconciler, the one who has cleansed you and the one who represents you, and confess before him your sin, knowing that he will forgive you. That's a good start. As sins are exposed in your heart, start with that. Repent and believe the gospel and run to Jesus, knowing that he will forgive. But there's another way that I want us to think about this. What if we got courageous enough to sit in maybe groups of two, maybe two or three trusted, really faithful brothers and sisters that we're sharing life with, and we begin to just look at each other in the eyes and say, how goes it with you? Where are you? Here we are, having heard the gospel, we're walking in the light together. Is there anything that's keeping us out of fellowship with one another? Or is there something in us that's causing us to have bitterness or anger or envy with anyone else? Let's just take minutes, not hours, minutes here, just to clearly state the reality of our hearts together. And in the most clear and concise way, celebrate what God's teaching you and has provided for you, but in the most clear, concise way, also confess our sins to one another. And be healed, is what James promises us. Confess our sins to one another and get the cleansing that is right here, that Jesus is offering. And walking together in those small groups, we start to encourage one another to believe these things and assure one another of the forgiveness that's offered to us in these things. And as you hear sins confessed, as you hear offenses being voiced, maybe even someone comes and confesses something to you, you take a double look at Jesus and remind them of what Jesus has done for them, forgiving them. But what if they sinned against me, Nathan? Take three looks at Jesus and then turn and forgive your brother. Look at him. Look at what he's offering to us. He's offering to us cleansing, forgiveness, reconciliation. What we need to do is have the courage to put these things into practice because they are offered to us. Confess your sins. He will cleanse you. Again, I would remind you to look at the confession. Chapter 15 on repentance unto faith. Right there in our confession, the Westminster Divines outline a way for us to come clean in the confession of sins. And one of the ways they say is, like, if you've sinned against a brother, go to them. Go to them and confess. If you sin against God, run to him and confess. He will cleanse you. Brothers and sisters, we are encouraged to do this together, even right there in the confessions. It's encouraging us to get in on this together, to really seek out what God is offering to us in the gospel. So, will you believe? Will you repent? Will you run to Jesus? At some point, take the moment to sit before the Lord with the Word of God open before you. Again, application I made last time. And ask the Lord to search you and to know you. And as he does, listen. Trust him. And answer him with the answer of faith, saying, I have heard what Jesus does for those who confess their sins, and I will run to him for cleansing. No longer hide. No longer conceal. No longer cover, but confess, because he is there as your representative, the ram who propitiates for your sins, and he will reconcile us to God and to one another. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. Lord, again, we ask that you would help us to grow in these things, to put these things into practice, that we might begin to experience the freedom and the liberty that comes by walking in the light with you, our holy and glorious God, and your Son who's made propitiation for us, who represents us to you even now and provides cleansing for us, so that we might have fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. Lord, we pray that we would be those who are not cowardly or faithless, but that we would be full of courage and faith and put these things into practice according to your word, that we might walk in the freedom and the liberty and the fellowship that we find in the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.